Good morning. Good to see you this morning. I want to ask you a question. What are you worth? How much value are you? I know your mother told you that you were precious, that you were really special, and there was only one like you in the whole world. But based upon other things, what are you worth? What's your value? You know, value is often determined by, well, we usually determine value on a particular item based upon several things. First of all, how rare is it? You know, if it's something that's really scarce, there's just one of these in the whole world. Well, usually people are willing to pay a price for that. That's valuable because it's rare, it's scarce. And in one sense, you are one of a kind. Your spouse probably thinks so. Your family probably thinks so. But the truth is, you are one of 7 billion people on the face of the earth right now. That's not even including all the people that have lived before right now, and however many people may come after us. So in the grand scheme of things, you are one of billions and billions of people that are like you. If something's really irreplaceable, it's often of more value. But again, if you die, and I mean not to try to sound just terribly discouraging, but the world as a whole is not even going to hiccup when you die. Now you'll have people that it changes their lives. But overall, the world's just going to keep on spinning. And things are going to keep on. And if the population continues to increase the way it is, basically, when you die, you'll be replaced by 2, maybe 4 more. You're not irreplaceable. Durability is another quality that we look for when estimating the value on something. How long can something last? How can it endure time or change? And if it does that very well, then it usually increases in value. You know, this has been around, this stays around, doesn't wear out, so forth. That tends to make it a little bit more valuable. But again, when we look at our life, James says it this way, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You have really no durability. And even someone, if they make it to 100 years old, we go, wow, boy, they've really weathered life well. But again, in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. And that's the point that the Bible makes over and over again. You're a vapor. You're as if grass thrown into an oven, which today is and tomorrow is gone. Quality is another characteristic that we often determine when it looks at value. This is really valuable. It's really pure. It's really well made. It's without blemish, without fault. Well, that doesn't describe us either. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. That includes you. That includes me. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 says it this way, what then? Are we better than they? Now Paul has just gone through and he's talked about the Gentiles and how terribly corrupt the Gentiles are. And then he turns to his Jewish brethren and he said, what, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, whose feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And then he just concludes in verse 23 by saying, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They don't have the quality that God has. We fall short of that. And then sometimes we think something is valuable because it's stood the test of time, at least in being recognized and remembered. And because of that, a lot of times people try to increase their value by being very memorable in some way, so that people will remember them. But Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 15 says, I said in my heart, what happens to the fool also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As a fool. And I think it's kind of interesting that there have been so many people throughout history that have done everything they could possibly do to be remembered. And maybe the most notable example of that would be the Egyptian pharaohs. The great length they went through to build monuments to themselves so that years and years later people would remember them. These monuments still stand today, thousands of years later. And we look to that and we marvel at that. Isn't that amazing? One of the seven wonders of the modern world and of the ancient world is to go and look at the pyramids and say, wow, look at this incredible engineering feat. And yet I would guess if we took a survey right here and I said, okay, that the great pyramid there, tell me who that honors. What's the name of the pharaoh who built that? I'm guessing there's not a handful of you in here that could do it. Unless you're just really a history buff. You may take a stab and say, well, King Tut. That's one of the pharaohs I know. It's not King Tut. Well, then I don't know. That's right. We're still pretty impressed with his monument. Have no idea who he is. We don't remember him. You're probably not going to be able to build a pyramid that thousands of years later people will go, I wonder who built that. And if time continues on, you won't be remembered. Probably not more than 100 years or so before people forget all about it. Maybe look you up in some genealogical record. But as far as know anything about you, probably not. Solomon, we see it in this passage in Ecclesiastes. He begins to look at this and go, now wait a minute. By the standards that we value things by, my life is not very precious. My mama told me I was precious, but by the standards that we value things by, I'm not very precious. I'm not worth much. And so you remember his conclusion? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Boy, when we try to estimate what we're worth based upon the way that we normally value things, we get to feeling discouraged real fast. I'm not worth much. And it's rather disheartening. But then when you think about that, remember the passage we looked at last week in Psalm 8? Where David, he says, God, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you acknowledge him? We're not very valuable, God. By any of these standards, we're not very valuable. We're certainly not rare. We're not durable. We don't have great quality about us. We're not memorable. What in the world is it that you even notice us? And so that becomes the real question that I want us to deal with. What is it that gives you real value? And this is what it is, brethren. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. That's what makes you precious. That's what makes you valuable. Is that you were made in God's image. And therefore, you're more valuable than all the rest of the creation. You're more valuable than plant life or animal life. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, he's talking about when man's blood is shed, how that's to be taken very, very seriously. And the reason that's to be taken very, very seriously is because man's life is precious. Look at what he says. For surely your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. If you take an animal's life, God doesn't require that life be given for that. Because an animal's not made in the image of God. But you are. And God says that makes you valuable. That makes you special because you are made in His image. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses or barns, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Why are you more valuable? Because you were made in God's image. And they weren't. That's the difference. And there's another fact that's made. You remember we looked at them and we said, okay, here's the standard of how we estimate the value of something. How durable is it? How rare is it? All of those things. Well, we don't really measure up in any of those things. And yet, because we're made in the image of God, God tells us you're more valuable than all of those things. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You can have all of the precious things that in this whole world, own the whole world. But compared to your soul, which is made in the image of God, that's nothing. That's of no value. You are that much greater value than all of those things because you are made in the image of God. So we read earlier that we've been flawed, and the part of us that is made in the image of God has been flawed by our own sin. We sinned, we trespassed. The very value of being in the image of God is we have connection with God. We have fellowship with God. And yet sin breaks that fellowship, denies us of that. Yet even in all of that, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm one person out of 7 billion people that are presently dwelling on this globe. What am I to God? Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I was hoping to get to this in Bible class today. That way it would tie in with the sermon. But I didn't. So let's look at this in a little bit more detail. Luke chapter 15. Let's start reading in verse 1. "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So He spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." All the way through this, Jesus is emphasizing the value of one single individual and how precious and valuable that person is. Out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth today, God cares about me individually. He cares about you individually. Absolutely. And do you sense in this that it's not just a passing recognition that, yes, I know that they're alive? It is intense interest. The angels in heaven are looking down, aware. Luke chapter 12, and verse 6 and 7. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, even though he's talking collective terms here, it implied in this is his individual interest in people and souls. He's not willing that any, he's not willing that Lonnie James Oldag, out of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, he's not willing that Lonnie James Oldag should perish, but that he should come to repentance. And that's the same for you, and that's the same for every individual on the face of the earth. He has that type of concern because we are that valuable to Him. If you want to get an idea of how valuable, He sent His Son to die. For the 7 billion, yes. Or 7 billion, yes, 7 billion. And for all who lived before and all who will come after, yes. But also for you individually. And there's nothing in the Scripture that indicates that if you were the only one that God had to save, you were the only one that was lost, there's no indication in the Scripture that God wouldn't do the same thing for you individually. Can you fathom that? I suspect not. When we talk about the love of God, how measureless it is, the height, the breadth, the width, put it all together, it's beyond comprehension. And I think this is the part where we really see how that just doesn't make any sense. That God would send His Son, who, first of all, is very durable, isn't He? Is He scarce? Yes, His only begotten Son. Just one of Him. Is he precious? Without fault? Pure? Holy? Without spot and without blemish? In every one of those categories, we look and say, oh, Christ is the most valuable. And yet God says, I'm going to send Him to die so that I can redeem you. What does that say about us? How does God value us? Now here's the point of the lesson, and I really want us to get this. How valuable are you? Well, that depends. And it depends on this. If you gauge how valuable you are by temporal things, things of this world, you are not of much value. And that's the fact of the matter. If you're gauging it by things of this world, you are not of much value. But if you gauge it by the eternal, you are priceless. You understand that? You get that? Now let's make the application from that, because I think we can grasp that. Yeah, based upon the things of the world, I'm nothing. That's right. Never will be. Can't be. Don't have it in me to be. But based upon spiritual things, I can be and am priceless of that kind of value. That being true, why would you waste time seeking to be valued by temporal, carnal, physical things? Huh. Wow, isn't that interesting? That out of the 7 billion people on the earth, most of them are trying to be valuable based upon temporal, carnal, physical things. A lot of my brethren are seeking to be valuable based upon temporal, carnal, physical things. And how foolish that is, because you don't really have any value in regard to those things. But you have all value in spiritual things, and yet we turn our back on that and don't pursue those things. You remember the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, in verse 19 through 21, where here he's been pursuing wealth and prosperity, and he's got it. His crops have really produced. He's building greater barns. And he says to his soul in verse 19, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease and eat, drink, and be merry. I'm valuable. I'm valuable because of all these material things. And God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You spent your time in pursuing things and trying to be valuable in something that you could not be valuable in. What a foolish thing to do. Because if you would have been rich towards God, you would have had true riches. You would have really been valuable. But instead, you pursued things that gave you no value. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Pursue the things that are valuable. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, do you see that? I'm chasing after these things of the world. Okay, what you're doing, when you do that, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. You're pursuing things that have no value. But he who does the will of God abides forever. There's where the value is. So recognizing that our value is not upon the physical, but on the spiritual. And certainly our pursuits have no value if they're upon the physical rather than the spiritual. Should we not be pursuing the spiritual? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The physical things that are not of much value, God will take care of that. That shouldn't be our pursuit. That doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to work and do things like that. But that's not our pursuit. That's not our goal. That's not our aim. We're not living life for the physical. We're not living life for the now. Because we recognize there's no value in that. There's no profit. Those things are passing away. If you're a child of God, you have access to Jehovah. You can call upon the Almighty. We did so this morning in prayer. We spoke to Him in our singing this morning. Can you imagine that? Calling upon the Almighty God. We have access to do that. We've been seated and exalted in heavenly places. Ephesians talks about that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and yet God has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We still live upon this earth, and yet our citizenship is in heaven. We have a place reserved, and it is in fact as if we are already sitting with God, part of His family, there. That's the blessings that we have as a child of God. And what did Jesus say? If you abide in My Word, I go to prepare a place that where I'm at, you can dwell as well. In My Father's house, there are many dwellings or many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back for you again. We have that reserved for us. Talk about value. These are the things that are valuable. But if we're not a Christian, none of those things are available to us in our current state. And yet, even though we've sinned against God, He still sees that our soul is valuable, and He's still reaching out and He's saying, look, don't pursue these things. You have something so precious, don't waste it pursuing these things. Turn to Me. I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repent and come to Me. You're worth so much. And the angels in heaven are as if they're peering down saying, come on, repent. Get your priorities right. See what's really valuable. Don't be a fool in this. And when someone does, when they see that, it's as if heaven just erupts in thanksgiving and praise. Yes! Something that was so precious was lost and now it's been found. It's come back. How wonderful. That's the call that God makes to us. All the way through the Scripture, what God is trying to get us to see is you are precious and valuable because you are made in His image. Do not squander that on things that are of no value. Don't depreciate yourself with things that are not lasting. But pursue what true riches are. And where your heart is, there your treasure will be. and you'll have that treasure forever and ever. That's the call that God makes. So as we end this lesson, I want you to be thinking about, what are you doing with that very, very precious thing that God has entrusted you with, that soul? And you have the decision to make what you're going to do with that. You can squander that. Or you can use it to pursue things that are truly valuable. This morning, if you recognize that way too much of your time is being spent on things that are of not any real significant value, please listen to the call of God. Don't continue to pursue those things with the same, well, value that you've been placing on them up to this point. But turn and pursue things that are truly valuable. If you're not a Christian, I hope this morning you'll say, I've wasted enough of my time. I've wasted enough of my time doing things that are worthless. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing what's valuable and what's precious and what really means something. And I'm willing to put that old man to death and have him buried in Christ so to be raised up to walk a completely different life. A life of pursuing things that are worthwhile, that are valuable. You need to do that this morning. You're surrounded by people who would love to see you do it. Not just in this building, but I would suggest from the Scripture that even in heaven there are angelic beings peering down waiting for you to make that kind of decision. If we can help you in pursuing those things that are truly of value, we want to. Would you come while we stand? While we stand.